Hi and welcome everybody. This is Christian Peterson with The Risk Course. I am here today with special guest Susan Bratton, for which I am thoroughly jazzed, and I just really appreciate your taking your time here, Susan, to be with us. And before, we'll of course get to hear a whole lot from you here in a moment, but I'll just give you the official introduction about Susan Bratton here. So Susan is a champion and advocate for every man and woman who desires a passionate relationship. Through Personal Life Media, Susan has authored 20 books, including Relationship Magic, The Passion Patch, and 30 Romance Tricks That Work Like Magic, as well as over 1,000 articles and audio dialogues on many topics, including flirting and seduction, safe sex, foreplay, erotic escalation, advanced anatomy, creative lovemaking, masculine-feminine magnetism, expanded orgasm, and sexual empowerment. The thrust of her work serves those who crave a profoundly nurturing sex life. Susan is known for her compassion and fearlessness in teaching the fundamental techniques and communication skills that make for crazy good sex. And like Susan says, who doesn't want a little more of that? And we're here to, the title of our talk today here with Susan is Relationship Values, Building the Foundation for Living Your Deepest Desires. Now, that all sounds so juicy, Susan. So I can't wait to get into it. And, hey, welcome to be with us here. I really appreciate your time.
Hi, Christian. And hello, everybody. Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to tell you a little bit about relationship values and how that can be the foundation for living your deepest desires. It's something that my husband, Tim, we are also a couple who runs our business, Personal Life Media. He and I discovered that right as we were on the brink of divorce, and it saved our marriage. And it is something that we have been teaching to everyone we possibly can ever since then. And so it is really my pleasure to share it today on this bonus with you.
Yeah, and I know we obviously meet a lot of people in our work and who are with us on the Risk Course who have had exactly that experience. You know, we call it the downward spiral, but you know, the experience of things getting less and less erotic and exciting, and yeah, it sounds like you got very close to the tipping point yourself.
Yeah, I think you have to get to the abyss and pull back or even fall in and get out. It really changes the way you think about how precious your connection with your partner is.
Yeah, really, I totally hear that. So I've heard you say, Susan, that like you say what you have developed can make every relationship better. Now, that is a pretty tall order, so what do you have to say about that?
Well, it is a tall order, and it's also something magical and something very, very simple. What I like, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase. I love this phrase. Have you ever heard the saying, little hinges that swing big doors?
I have never heard that, no.
It's such a good saying because to me what it means is something simple that once you learn it, it's so logical and easy that and it has a profound impact on how you view something forevermore. And that's to me what I'm going to talk about today, which are relationship values. And essentially, what relationship values are what you individually value most in your relationship. Now, today we're going to be talking about your love relationship, your most intimate relationship with your partner. But this works equally as well as a concept applied to your friends, the people with whom you work, your family, because in every one of those instances, you come already programmed by society, by your religion or spirituality, by your life experiences, by your physiology, by the time and place you were born, that it impacts what it is that you most value in a relationship. What's most important to you uniquely in a relationship? What are the things that you really can't live without. These become your deal breakers, if you will, if you can't have them. And if you're in a relationship where your top most important things you value about being in a relationship are not being met, you have dissatisfaction. And one of the ways to really, people don't know what they value in relationship. People have some ideas about, you know, attributes of partners. Oh, you know, I want someone who's fun or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But once you go through this process of values elicitation, which is a very common concept in neuro-linguistic programming, and neuro-linguistic programming is just the way we can communicate to each other very ably through our brain's operating system. Really good communication skills is essentially what we're talking about here. So what makes every relationship better is understanding what it is you most want from that relationship, getting really, really clear about that. And the very first step in knowing what you truly want is to ask yourself this one, what I call one magic question. And that is the following. Would I stay in a relationship if I couldn't have blank? Fill in the blank. Would I stay in a relationship if I couldn't have whatever this thing is? You start writing that down. I would not be in a relationship unless I could have this thing. I would not be in a relationship unless I could have this. There are some things that are so important to you that it is not worth being in a relationship if you can't have them. They could be things like passion or freedom or security or honesty. And what's interesting is that you and Sonika have entirely different relationship values in a different order of priority. And when you say those words, although you might both have passion on your list somewhere, they mean different things to both of you. So it's getting really clear about how you want to experience or feel the feelings of the things you most value in relationship. And that's what I help people do through a very simple exercise that's called relationship magic. And that's what I'm here mostly to talk about today, although I am absolutely sure we'll end up talking a lot about eroticism and passion and expanded lovemaking, because that's, you know, so much of what I am also about in the world of couple love.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And here, just for clarification on the relationship values, you know, just to help me and everybody else be clear about it, you make a distinction between what you call deal breakers. That's the stuff I would not want to be in this relationship without. And then when I just think about values, you know, that's sure, there might be all kinds of different things that I appreciate, but that's different from those, like, from deal breakers. Am I understanding that
right? That's right. Yes. Yes. There are just a few things. What I like to do is I like to come up with four top relationship values. And we'll get into that, you know, how you do it and what some of them might be.
Cool. And then, you know, another fun thing I've heard you say, which is, you know, something actually I've been trained in myself just from, you know, where I grew up and my parents, is you know, to be basically operating as an operational principle in relationship is the good old golden rule, which I believe is probably stems from the Bible originally, is that, you know, you treat others as you would like them to treat you. But I've heard you say that's not necessarily a very good idea. As a matter of fact, it could be ruining your relationship.
That's exactly right.
What's up with that?
Right. The golden rule is mucking up your marriage and ruining your relationship. And that is because we, like you said, your mom and dad said, do unto others as you want them to do unto you.
I know, they did all the time.
But there is a platinum rule, which is an even better rule for relating to and making yourself and your partner happy in your relationship. And the platinum rule is treat your partner the way they want to be treated. Have them treat you the way you want to be treated. Don't treat your partner the way you want to be treated, because they value different things in their relationship. They want to feel different feelings than you want to feel. They have a different set of priorities than you do. It's not... It's not really do unto others in relationship.
Right. And, you know, that's actually interesting you say that because we, even though we use a different language, we observe that all the time in, you know, with couples that come to us that very often, actually, one partner is they're diligently trying to give to their partner and they will maintain, but I love her so much or I love him so much, I'm doing all I can. But the things they are doing just aren't landing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So following the platinum rule is a very, that's another little hinge that swings a big door as far as I'm concerned. For many people, they've never really thought about it that way. It's like, oh, okay, so that leads to the next question, which is, you know, how do I treat them? What do they want, right?
Yeah, seriously. I want to know that.
Well, that's where relationship values come in.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, take us down that rabbit hole. I want to know more about that.
All right. So let me explain what relationship values are. I'm going to give you some examples. What I've done is I've put together kind of a do-it-for-you cheat sheet.
Huh.
And that cheat sheet I have looked at. I've done a very extensive study of what people all over the world value in relationship with their primary partner.
Yeah.
And I have come up with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of value-related words. But when you look at it all, they kind of cluster in about 20 or so segments, different things that people really want and that people want more than others. There's a prioritization where some things are just really not important to one person, and yet that could be the number one most important thing to the next person.
Right.
And those relationship values are things like achievement, growth, family focus, contribution, passion, patience, presence, practicality, faith, charm, acceptance, mastery. And within any one of those, there are subcategories that are more precise to your individual desire. So maybe in acceptance, that category of acceptance, it could be affirmations or encouragement or belonging, connection, communication, honesty. So there are these kind of big directional clusters, and then there are words that more specifically dial in what it is you couldn't live without in a relationship if you were to be very, very happy in that relationship. And so those are essentially what relationship values are, the things you value most in relationship. And I have a cheat sheet that helps you figure them out so that you don't have to come up with them from scratch. You can look on a, you know, on a one piece of paper and go, oh, okay, I see, right, yeah, that's the process. And
yeah,
I can go into it in a little while, you know, how you, what the process is that you go through. There's essentially three easy steps. But, you know,
right,
sometimes
cool.
People will – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to ask questions about that, but before I jump the gun on that, and as long as you say, hey, we'll get to that, cool, I'm good with that. But, the first question also that pops to my mind is what if I find somebody or I'm with somebody who wants totally different things? You know, that's another thing people ask us about all the time that I can gather from how you're talking about relationship values is, you know, when single people especially are out trying to find their perfect mate, you know, often we look for people who have similar values, right? That's what compatibility means or that's what we think it means. So, like, is that what I should be looking for? I guess that's one part of that question. And the other part of the question is, what if I find out that my current partner has different ones?
Yeah.
Like,
so let's
compatibility,
go back to the
can I use compatibility as a success measure for myself?
No. Compatibility is not a predictor of happiness in a relationship. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you're going to be happy. As a matter of fact, in longitudinal studies, the things that people are incompatible about tend to be things like religion. They don't believe the same They don't have the same spiritual mean. They have parenting differences. They have libido differences. And couples can go on for years and years and years perfectly happy agreeing to disagree. They do not have to have any, interests the same. they can be very different people, and their values can be completely different. Your list of values and Sonica's list of values could be completely different, because I'll go back once again to the Platinum Rule. And the idea is that if Sonica knows your relationship values and you know hers, and you get up every day and you have a very good understanding of what those values are and how she likes to feel the feeling of those values, you can start giving that to her. And she can do the same for you by focusing on what it is you value most. I'll give you an example. There's a couple that I worked with that I really, really thought that their story was one that would resonate with a lot of couples. They have very different values. Only one was the same. Lauren really needed security. She needed freedom. She needed honesty. And she needed a lot of variety. So she wanted her husband, Robert, to take care of her and let her do whatever she wanted to do. At the same time.
Yeah.
She wanted her husband to, so security to her meant, let's always make sure we have good health care, a burglar alarm, our cars have oil changes, you're going to pay all the bills on time. She would earn money too and contribute it, but she liked her husband to manage the finances and to keep she and her family safe. At the same time, she was an extrovert and he was an introvert. So she wanted a lot of freedom to go out and do things, go to wine tastings or whatever, she wanted to do, that he necessarily didn't always want to go do, and she didn't want to feel badly about doing it. She wanted him to support her in being that extrovert that she was.
Right. So
they
go
ahead.
Well, that's just interesting you're saying that. I gather from what you're saying that relationship values, they're not necessarily logically coherent. It might sound illogical, for example, that you say that Lauren wanted both, like, stability, security, him to take care of it, and at the same time, great freedom and extroversion, those logically might not go together, but it sounds like for her, they went together.
They were the two most important things. She wouldn't be in a relationship with Robert or anyone if she couldn't have freedom and security. It wouldn't be worth it to her. She would just take care of herself and have all the freedom she needed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
She also cared about honesty. She didn't want to lie about anything or anyone. She didn't want to have to filter herself with Robert. She didn't want to have to think before she spoke. She wanted to be completely and totally loved and accepted for all of her bad and good. And she wanted a lot of variety. Those were her top four. She was a kind of a person who really liked to do a lot of different things. She wasn't a person who wanted to do the same thing all the time. Where Robert, he was a guy that would get up every day and work 8 or 10 hours a day and love sitting in front of his computer running his business and doing his things. And she would like to go off and bop around and she used to feel guilty about it until they discovered their relationship values. Now Robert, on the other hand, his number one relationship, and this is where their marriage was really struggling, his number one relationship value was passion. And Lauren didn't understand what that meant till they went through this very simple process of understanding their values. Because for Robert, it turns out that passion wasn't intercourse every day. It was, he wanted her to get up in the morning and before she got dressed, he wanted her to come sit on his lap naked or come out and sit in front of the fire and warm up without her clothes. He wanted to see her naked body. He loved the way she looked. It brought him joy. He wanted her to sit on his lap. He wanted her to grab his buns when he walked by or grab his package and, just give him a little peck on the cheek.
Right.
He wanted that kind of like flirty, affectionate, sexy vibe in their relationship all day, every day. He wanted to feel like they had, really a hot, sexy life together.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't have to be intercourse every day. It had to be affection and attention and sensuality and her feeling good about herself. He wanted honesty as well. It was very important to him, too, so they matched on that. They were both willing to play full out in as radical of honesty as they could possibly, you know, as they could possibly conjure, coming from a world where everyone lies to everyone about everything.
Right.
Robert wanted a lot of growth, and that was a real match for Lauren's variety value, which was one of the things that brought them together. He liked her to push him and set a high bar for him. And a lot of times, you know how there's that saying, behind every good man is a good woman? Behind every successful man is a good woman? That was something that Robert really believed. He wanted his woman to, you know, push him to greatness, to know what he was capable of. And he wanted fun and adventure. That was his fourth top value. And he loved, with Lauren, that variety was a lot of the fun adventure. He liked recreational companionship. When he did go out, he wanted her to go, and he wanted her to be a lot of fun, and she was a lot of fun. And so they had an entirely different list. They were not doing well as a couple. They were really anxious with each other and feeling unmet and dissatisfied. And when they went through the process of understanding their relationship values, which literally you can do in an evening, you can go out to dinner and do this. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward thing. It was one of those pivotal shifts for them. She got up every day and started snuggling him and, you know, making sure she took a shower with him instead of separately, and just those kinds of things that made a difference for her. And he understood much more about how she wanted to be taken care of. And so that made a really big difference. So compatibility is not a predictor of happiness. You can mutually coexist and like and do very different things if you understand how to support your partner.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, maybe you can tell me if you're getting to this later, but I was curious when you talked about especially Robert's example of passion, that you would really need to, you would need to ferret that out a lot more, because if you were to just say passion, you know, that can mean a million different things. But with those specific examples you gave, when he liked to have her come sit on his lap, for example, like who would have ever guessed that if you just heard the word passion?
So that's exactly like right. So let me just explain how you figure out your values.
Please.
it's a simple exercise. So you're going to choose, prioritize, and elaborate on your values. So first you're just going to look at our worksheet. And by the way, I'm not selling anything here, because this ebook is downloadable and it is literally $9.95.
Cool.
It is just an introduction to personal life media. It is one of our very best things that we teach people, and we just make it as affordable as possible for everyone in the universe. So I'm not selling a $1,000 product here, or even talking about it. This is like you can literally have it right the second at myrelationshipmagic.com. That's where you get it.
Sweet.
So the first exercise is choose the values from my relationship values cluster. It's one page of words. And write down all of the values that are important to you, all the ones that you think resonate with you. Like, yeah, these are things that are deal-breakers. These are things I cannot live without, what I really want in my relationship.
And to start with, do I just pick, like, as many as I want?
Take as many as you want.
Okay.
And then
I've seen the list. There are quite a few words on there.
There are. I think there's like, I don't know, 120, but again, it's only really about 22 values clusters that get you at 90% of the way. You might value something I haven't thought of, and if you do, please send me an email and let me know about it, because I I think I've done a fairly exhaustive job of putting them on the list. The next thing you do, you've got this long list of things, you know, this is your dream list right here,
right.
But what we found, you know the 80-20 rule?
Yeah.
Where you get 80% of the way with 20% of the stuff, you know, or the 90-10 rule, you know, it's like all the juice is in the top, you know,
right.
There's a long tail of trailing stuff that's nice to have, but it's not a have to have.
Mm-hmm.
What we've come up with is having an understanding and doing the platinum rule with four values. That's about all anyone can remember. And if you can remember your partner's top three or four values, you are going to get 90% of the way to making them ecstatically happy.
Yeah, nice.
So we're really trying to boil down your list to four. So the next thing that you have to do, and this is where you learn a little bit about yourself. Because what you will find is that if you do this once or twice and you are actually really honest with yourself, when you do a rank order prioritization by asking yourself, would I be in a relationship if I couldn't have this? And you start to say, okay, so for Lauren, Lauren's list did not start out with security at the top until she'd done this very honestly. Because she was born in the 60s. She was her mother raised her. This took her a while. Her mother raised her and said things to her like, never depend on a man for anything. Always make sure you have money in a bank account somewhere. Her mother was divorced a few times and hadn't had the success with husbands that Lauren wanted to have. She never wanted to get divorced from Robert. So for her to admit that what she really wanted was her husband to handle all the money and take care of her, which freed her up for her creativity and the things she wasn't a numbers person. She was a letters person. And so she was much more creative when she didn't have the kind, they used to keep separate checking accounts and she had her own money and she, after they did this exercise, she just started giving him her checks and and telling, it was a real epiphany for her to realize that she really truly just wanted a man to take care of her. And that is a very primal thing for women. Security is in the top four for more than half of the women who do this exercise. Women need to be taken care of because we are the ones that have those babies and raise them. And
for a woman like Lauren, that would have taken also a good, a good portion of courage to just put that on her list and say, yeah, this is what I want. You know, given her upbringing, like you were just saying.
Exactly. Yeah, so when you do this rank order prioritization and then you leave it and you come back to it and you really do some soul searching, it changes. And then you ultimately come down with what are your top values. Now, you can have more than four. Just remember your partner ain't going to remember them all.
Yeah, right.
So you're welcome to have as many as you'd like, but don't ask Honey Pie to remember more than a few, right?
Yeah.
And then the next thing that you do is the visualization, an explanation of what it would look like, what it would sound like, what it would feel like if your partner was supporting your relationship values. What does each of those values mean to you specifically? How do you know when your value is being met? What are the indications that your value is being met? And what causes you to feel that value is manifested in everyday activities in your relationship? So the more ideas and examples you can offer your partner about what it's like when your values are met, when Robert said to Lauren, well, if you would just come and let me look at you naked every morning before you got dressed, or if you just come and sit on my lap and give me a little peck on the cheek in the middle of the day, like she thought, oh, my God, that's so easy. And
I know,
turns
I can do that.
She loves it too, right? I mean, she loves to sit on Daddy's lap and give him a little kiss, That's a real polarity generator for the two of them, which, boy, the more polarity generators, the more masculine, feminine generators you can get in a relationship, the more the sexual dynamic and the erotic and the passion can flare. So it really worked out well for them. And so essentially that's what you do. You could do this without my book. I'm telling you everything. It doesn't matter to me. I just want you to have it, right? If you just want the cheat sheet so you get all the values, you don't have to think about it, it's there for you. But that's the process.
I know. That sounds pretty straightforward, actually. It's awesome. I really like it. So is it the same for a man to do it and a woman to do it, or is it different if you're already in relationship or you're someone out looking for relationship?
Well, there are some really interesting things about knowing your values. So, for example, it's really nice for a married woman to have her man doing the things that make her the most happy. Because you know that phrase, when if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Yep.
So it gives the husband, it's kind of like the lazy husband's cheat sheet to make mama happy. It's like this amazingly simple shortcut to make your wife incredibly happy with you. And when she's incredibly happy with you, she's going to want to make you happy in the ways that matter to you most. You're going to be doing that platinum rule to each other. When she's getting her needs met, a lot of them are going to probably be about, you know, feeling like he's romancing her all over again. It's going to be that, you know, way it was when he was totally in love with her and he proposed to her, you know, and they had all this potential. It really takes the marriage to a whole new level of satisfaction. And instead of it being just like the potential of how great it's going to be, it begins to be how great it actually is. And single guys, I mean, if a guy understands what relationship values are, he can literally, if he's curious about a woman that he sees a woman he's attracted to and he wants to get to know her, you know, is she someone that might be right for him, he can literally walk up to any girl and sweep her off her feet with one of the most meaningful conversations she's ever had with a perfect stranger. I mean, what kind of a guy could make a powerful first impression like that? He's going to know her intimately just by talking about what she values most in relationship. Women want to have that relationship conversation, but they're afraid to scare guys away. And equally for single women, you know,
yeah,
especially
with
her biological clock ticking, she doesn't have to waste any more time to find out if he might be the one for her. It's how she can know if he's husband material without scaring him away. Because, you know, she can start to talk about what's important to her and see if that's something that he could support, see if that resonates with him, see if he's turned on by the way she would like to be and feel in relationship with someone. And suddenly a woman feels a lot more in control of her dating decisions when she understands that she can have a conversation about what she values, when she's so clear about what it is that she wants. She gets a reflection back from a guy pretty easily about whether or not he could give that to her. You know,
yeah,
a lot of women in there.
That would make for a great conversation over the first meal together.
It definitely would. Yeah, it's a really good way to feel people out. Yeah, so is it a different process for men versus women, single versus married? It's not. It's exactly the same process. You just might leverage the knowledge in slightly different ways depending on where you are and who you are.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, then I want to ask you, you know, you mentioned sort of in passing here a couple minutes ago about the great polarity generator. So I also heard you speak a lot about polarity, and you have this term you use, the upward pleasure spiral. So I'm really curious about that, both the pleasure spiral and the polarity generation.
There are all these things that are like movement, aren't they?
Yeah.
You got to keep things moving in your relationships, right? I mean, that's what makes it fun, when you're moving each other at a soul level, moving each other's bodies in space, you know. It's we're alive when we move. And what I really mean when I talk about an upward pleasure spiral, you said it earlier, the downward one where you're, you know, you're swirling down the drain, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
The wrong way to go. You want to go up. And that is really thinking about how you are moving your partner toward more pleasure. I have the delight to publish the work of Dr. Patricia Taylor. She has been a mentor to me for many, many years. And one of the programs that she wrote for me here at Personal Life Media is called The Seduction Trilogy. Seduction gets a bad rap, especially in the singles world. Like, oh, you know, he's a seduction guy or whatever.
Yeah, it easily gets kind of a sleazy quality, doesn't it?
It can. And I wanted to take it out of that world. And I wanted to give partners, lovers, a way to seduce each other toward more pleasure in their relationship. And so there are a combination of things that really fall into two categories, communication skills and pleasure techniques. And the core of the Seduction Trilogy, which is a 3 ebook audiobook program that we have that's called Seduce Her Tonight, The Seduction Accelerator, and How to Be Her Sexual Trainer. Now, it's written for men and women, but because of that polarity of masculine sexual leadership, what I like to do is give men the tools to seduce their woman so she can surrender to the pleasure that he's offering. and teach women how to encourage and invite their man to bring them pleasure. And so one of the fundamental skills in this idea of the upward pleasure spiral is running your partner a menu of small offers. If you want to have more intimacy, more passion, more connection, more touch, more joy, more love, more connection to God through orgasmic rapture together, it really helps if the guy, and again, masculine, the masculine of the two, and you guys can switch roles, it doesn't matter to me, you can be gender queer, you can be male, female, masculine, feminine, you can have a penis and be the feminine person, I make no judgments about that. As a matter of fact, I encourage a wide variety of experiences of masculine, feminine switching and role play. They're all marvelous things for couples to do. But this idea of running your partner a menu of small offers is a really good one for the typical monogamous American mainstream universe, of which 80 to 85% of people in marriages are in that, you know, heterosexual monogamous experience. Right. And that is, a guy often gets into trouble over time in his relationship where he begins to have less pleasure of the sexual and erotic and affectionate because he is, and I've heard this on other of your risk conversations, goal-oriented toward intercourse.
Right.
Instead of slowly stair-stepping her up the arousal. I mean, Lisa Schrader talked about this, you know,
right,
giving your woman time, being present instead of goal-oriented. It's the same exact thing. My thing that I offer is a runner a menu. Offer her three things. Would you like a foot rub? Would you like an ass massage? Would you like me to cuddle you in bed? Would you like to lean up against me, up against my back, or up against my stomach and have me give you a breast and belly massage while we watch your favorite show? You know, you're going to get a yes to something in there, starting small, instead of just saying, maybe we can have sex tonight.
Yeah.
So that's what the upward pleasure spiral is. The upward pleasure spiral is how to bring more pleasure in small amounts all the time to your relationship, being proactive in thinking about that.
Yeah. And does that count for, so here, if I'm speaking from the guy's point of view, is that sort of an all-day affair, or is that, you know, here, cool, it's evening, I'm getting ready to have sex. Is that when I do that?
You can do it whenever you want. You can do it as much as you want. You could text her and run her some menus for later. You could call her on the phone or send her an email. You could talk about it in the morning. Mm-hmm. You could offer it at dinner. You could offer it whenever you're ready to go, wherever you're going to go to make love. Because you want to get her open, relaxed, turned on, aroused. I did an entire audio about erotic escalation. It's on my website at personallifemedia.com. It's hot. I warn you. It is sexy as hell. You will want to have sex after you listen to me tell you these things. So if you don't have anyone to have sex with, you will have to have solo sex. Essentially what I do is I go through ways you can erotically escalate a woman from a cold start all the way up to hot and heavy and begging you to have sex with her. And then I explain how a woman can do the same thing with her man. So that is mostly about making those offers, starting really small and working your way up.
Yeah, you know, what's really great about it, what you said about the how to find your values and how, you know, now with the how to run your menus, I can really see that sounds like you're really great at helping people get really specific about what it is they value and what exactly it is they want, and what,
yeah,
in this case with the menu, what offers sound like. So I'm giving a list of specific options, so it's not just passion, sex, something specific like an ass rub or
exactly.
And well, what I like about the specificity of that is that when it gets specific like that, then it's something I feel I can succeed at. You know, I can do that.
That's yeah, it helps the guy win. When he's using, you know, erotic vigilance to really understand the mood his woman is in, and then he runs her a menu based on where she is in that moment, he's really paying attention to what's going on with her and giving her some options. She may say, well, you know, I don't want any of those. What I'd really like is for you to, you know, lay me down on the massage table and just do those really long strokes all up and down my body that you do so well. That's what I would love. And then I'd like to roll over and give you a nice blowjob off the edge of the massage table, you know, or whatever. I hope that's not too dirty talk for your program. I do have
I'm
to be careful.
Sure, they can all handle it.
Good.
Yeah, that, I like that. I like all the options you're suggesting here. On a personal note.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. And you know what? Something else I'm curious about is like all these things are definitely, those are just rich and juicy, and I can see also be really effective. And then, like, what do you say to most, you know, most couples have the experience that, you know, at some point in their life, in their relationship life, they typically, in the beginning, you know, it was hot and sex was just flowing. Like, does this stuff work forever? How do you, and if, I guess the real question is, how do you make it work forever? You know, I'd like to have it be hot even when we've been married for 20 years and 30 years.
Yeah. Well, I've been married for 23 years, and my sex life's hotter than ever. I am really solid on the upward pleasure spiral because I use these very simple techniques with my partner.
Yeah.
So it can absolutely be. One of the programs that I wrote is called Revive Her Drive. And that really comes from so many couples getting married, having children, dual career, they get busy, they raise their kids, and the husband's always thinking, okay, well, you know, it's just because she just had a baby. Oh, it's just because we have little kids in elementary school. Oh, it's just because the kids are busy and her career is taking
right.
off, and it'll get. And then when the kids leave for college, you know, we're going to have an incredible. And 20 years go by,
mm-hmm.
they're completely intimately disconnected. There's no joy in their marriage. They're living in a platonic parallel universe, and then they're like, oh shit, well, we might as well get divorced because, you know, it's just not hot anymore. And a lot of guys end up here, and they come to me and they say, you know, can this sex life be saved?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I say to them. I say to them, well, yes, and you're going to have to do 90% of the heavy lifting to get that thing back up off the ground. Are you willing to do that? Can you get over your anger and your resentment? Can you put that stuff in a parking lot and follow this process? There are four elements to revive a relationship where the sex life has gone south. And if you want to rekindle your relationship, you have to follow these four steps, and you can't go for the big goal right away because you've squandered your opportunity for that because you did not keep your wife turned on, warmed up, and loving sex and really welcomed all these years. So you got to go all the way back to step one and start over. Are you willing to do that? For some men, they are. Most men are if they believe that they can be helped, if they believe that I can help them. And it's not me personally. It's just an online home study course. This is what I do. I take really good processes that are really simple for guys, and I put them into programs they can do on their own time. They can listen to them, read e-books, and then personalize the process. And they have to go back to romancing their wife. She has to feel like she is once again that woman that he looked at with adoration as he got down on one knee and proposed to her and said he would spend the rest of his life with her. He's got to bring back the romance and the touch and the walks in nature and all of the classic romance things have to be put back into place before he can escalate to the sexual. And then he has to learn these techniques like seducing her, moving her toward pleasure. He's got to turn her body back on. You know, it's shut down. She would rather not bother anymore having sex with him. And likely what happened is she got bored with the way he had sex with her. And so he's got to learn some new sexual techniques. He's got to get some advanced sexual mastery skills that are going to allow him to fill her back up orgasmically so that she's going to be called to want him inside her and to be penetrated by this man that she's almost completely disconnected from. And it is absolutely possible, and I have hundreds and hundreds of testimonials and stories of men who've emailed me and said, thank you so much, you have saved my marriage, you have saved my life. You know, it's a very rewarding vein of relationship, if you will. And yet it's also one that doesn't always work. A lot of times the reason it doesn't work, in all honesty, is religious or cultural shame or pain, emotional or mental pain, depression, you know, physical ailments, things like that. So there are couples for whom it's almost just not fixable. But there are not that many of them. Almost everybody can turn their sex life back on slowly and surely.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds hopeful and juicy.
Hey, yeah, it's fun.
I want to ask you a question, kind of like playing the. I'll play the devil's advocate here for a second. And, you know, speaking from a man's point of view, like, what would you say to a man who said, yeah, okay, great, but that all sounds so old-fashioned. Why is it my responsibility to do 90% of the heavy lifting? Why is it me who has to turn her on? Aren't we, like, living in a modern equal society now? Shouldn't she be able to do that and, you know, come give me some?
Yeah, that's very common. What men really want is their woman to initiate sex with them for a couple reasons. Number one, they don't want to always be the one. Number two, when they initiate and they get rejected, it bums them out. So they don't like to initiate and get rejected. Number three, they want her to want them. He wants to be wanted by her. He wants proof that she wants him. And so when he doesn't get those things, he gets demoralized. His confidence is eroded. His masculinity is, you know, impugned. And I say to him, I am so sorry that it feels unfair that you have to do the heavy lifting. You won't have to do it forever. You just have to get the balloon off the ground. You've got to be the one that heats it all up and gets the balloon full. Once you've got lift off and you're in the basket together, she'll start to initiate. She'll want you. But the filling up the balloon with hot air is the seduction and filling her up with orgasm, awakening her yoni, getting her turned on, getting her engorged so that she feels enough sensation to enjoy sex with you again. You know, the problem is once you haven't touched your woman's yoni, breasts, ass, lips, ears, neck, feet, for a long time, she's not feeling a lot of sensation. It just doesn't even feel like much to her. And so there is some work, but I say the other important thing is that when you initiate as a man, when you lead her with small offers and escalate her arousal over time, you are showing her your masculine sexual leadership. You are allowing her feminine to follow your leadership. You are showing her that she doesn't have to do anything but surrender to the pleasure that you're providing. And then with those sexual techniques that you've learned, you are going to have the ability to come her so well that you're going to feel great about yourself. And right about that time, she's going to start coming on to you because you've been making her feel so good, and you won't have to be the one doing all the heavy lifting. But it is your job as the man or the masculine to bring it, and it is her job to follow it. And so you'll actually enjoy it because it's pretty simple when you start to romance her again, when you start to awaken her sexually, you see her responding to you in ways that she hasn't forever or years, and then it doesn't feel like such heavy lifting.
I like the sound of that. Yeah. And I'm also curious, this is a little bit of a sidestep, I guess, but I know you work directly with lots and lots and lots of men, and, you know, we sometimes come across both in our own work and, you know, in culture, basically, that, you know, the rumor or myth that, you know, men just don't care about relationship that much. They just don't want to work on it. I wonder what your experience is with that, having worked with so many men.
The opposite. I think the only men that don't want to work on it are men who are low in desire or low in modeling or low in knowledge and education. It's just a process of education. Now, the men who find me, they find me through listening to things like this. They find me through Googling things on the internet and coming to my websites. And they find me by referral through other people. You know, hey, go check this awesome stuff out, you know. So I'm naturally getting the men who want to affect change and are willing to learn the simple things that it takes to really have more passion. But I don't think there's a man born who doesn't want an erotic, passionate, fun, pleasurable, intimate relationship with a partner. He maybe just got derailed along the way through society, culture, shame, abuse, lack of information and knowledge. I mean, so many men were raised in households, so many people were raised in households where no one ever talked about sex at all. They weren't demonstrative. I recently sat at a restaurant with a friend of mine, and a family sat next to us, and it was probably about 8 people. It was some older people, some younger people, looked like an extended family. And the little girl who was sitting closest to me, we were kind of sitting against a wall in a banquette. I was next to her table. And she was, you know, maybe 8 or 9, and she had her little blankie, and she was crying. And her whole family was just sitting there having their dinner while she cried. And I couldn't stand it. I just sidled over. I just slid over on the banquette, and I said, "Sweetie, you know, what's the trouble? Come on over here and let me hug you. Just let me hug you for a second. Go ahead and cry. Tell me what's going on." And she said, "My mommy went out of town for 2 weeks, and I just really miss her, and I'm going to get to talk to her on Skype tonight, but I just really miss her." And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, she's going to be so happy you love her so much. And, you know, she's seeing new things, and she's having a great time. And just think about all the fun things she's going to get to do and tell you about when she gets home. And you'll get to see her tonight. And you're such a sweet girl." And, you know, I just held her.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she felt better, and, you know, she pulled herself together, and she sidled back over to her table, and her whole family just looked at me aghast, but then I thought to myself, my God, that kid's in a family where she couldn't even get a hug from her daddy. Later she did go over, and I saw her sitting on his lap, so I think he realized that she really needed, you know, some hugging and some holding. And maybe her mom did that for her or whatever, but that's how people grow up. They grow up in those terrible environments where they're not given love and support, and they're certainly not giving in any information about how to be, you know, an incredible, passionate husband or wife, you know. So,
yeah.
Hey, you got to overcome a lot of stuff, but it's all out there. It's all available. It's all there for you. You know, it's all right there.
Yeah, and I would certainly add from my perspective, and it's definitely an effort that is so worth it for the rewards that come after over and over and for years to come.
Exactly.
So here, I know our time is almost up, and before we say goodbye to you, I want to just ask you one more thing. What would you tell our, you know, I know we have probably mostly couples on the line here who listen to this, so for them to get started with everything you've shared, what would you tell them to go do first?
Oh, well, it depends on who they are and what, I think what I would say is, what appealed to you about what I said? Where do you think you need to go first? But I would also say that there are some keys to having lifelong passion, and one of them is that you're playing the higher game. You're not worried about yourself. You're worried about us.
Well, that's awesome, Susan. And here, one, I guess, a fine-tuned way of asking that question is especially when it comes to you know, the erotic life, the sexual life, the sensual life, which we've talked a lot about here. Like, well, how would you tell a couple who've been, you know, who have gone as far as maybe you shared you had in the beginning, you know, maybe they haven't been sexual for years. Where do they get started on, you know, building an upward pleasure spiral? How do they dive in?
Romance. Start with romance. Then awaken yourselves sensually again. Don't worry about the sex. And then start to seduce each other with small offers. And then get some education about orgasmic pleasure. And learn how to, if you're the woman, learn how to find and expand your orgasm. And if you're the man, learn how to bring her into expanded orgasmic pleasure. And that's the steps.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Susan. That's all the time we'll have for today. I really appreciate your expertise and your passion and that you took the time out of your busy life to come and share all this great material with us. That's wonderful. I know people can find you on your...
You know I loved it.
Yeah, I know your main place people can find you is personallifemedia.com. Is there anywhere else you would send our listeners?
MyRelationshipMagic.com, Revive Her Drive, The Seduction Trilogy, and Expand Her Orgasm Tonight. All those are .coms, and those are all the different things that I've mentioned during this conversation, if people are interested in getting more. We have free ebooks and free downloads on almost all of those sites. So there's, you know, starter information as well you can sign up for and get some, you know, information for free.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate your generosity and that you would hang out with us. And this is Christian Peterson with The Risk Course checking out for now. We've been with Susan Bratton of personallifemedia.com. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you.